congratulations on that, right?
Well, it's Sunday, June 30th.
Lord, we ask that you, your spirit of revelation would be upon us this morning, O Lord. It is so sweet, O Lord, when you were here in that way, O Lord. We, things light up that haven't been lit up before. Lord, we ask that your spirit would flow amongst all of us, O Lord, that our mouths would be anointed, but also our ears would be anointed to hear what you have for us today. By your spirit, you do that good work, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
The first song that you played, what was it? What was
the name? We the People?
Is that Balaam or the Republic?
No. The first one I played was We the People.
Give me a couple words. Let's sing it, Corky. We the people of God.
We're the people of God. Okay. Called by his name. Yeah.
You think I can think of that?
That's okay. Remind me of people. I come here. We're the people of God.
Yeah. But anyway, let me.
I'm sorry. People of God is a title. Right?
Oh, okay. Here are two versions of the church. And this is in Malachi. It says, your words have been, this is in Malachi 3:13. Your words have been stout against me, says the Lord. Yet you say, what have we spoken so much against you? What have we said so against you? You have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept his ordinances and that we have walked mournfully before the Lord of hosts? And now we call the proud happy, and yea, that work wickedness are set up. Yea, they that tempt God are even delivered. Okay, that's one version. And then the other part is what I saw that I liked, and I thought of it when I heard this. And then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened, and he heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him, for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son that served him. And then shall he return, and he shall discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that served God and him that served him not. And it's like, I've thought of that how many times lately, a jewel in God's crown, you know, or a jewel in whatever, you know. And there's a scripture that says that they that turn many to righteousness, I think it says, they shall shine as the stars shine in the firmament of the heavens forever. They'll shine. I mean, they're not going to be stuck way up there, so they shine them, I don't think. But, you know, I've had a couple of real interesting dates, and I was sharing with both Charlie and Corky a little bit of something. You know, we see the scriptures, and the scriptures don't necessarily make sense. As a matter of fact, they make very little sense to our age. And there's a scripture, it's mentioned three times in once in Matthew, once in Mark, once in Luke. And anyway, this young man came up to Jesus and he says, good master. And he said, why do you call me good? And I thought, he let people worship him. Why would he make any statement like that? And you know what? I thought, you know, I think I know the answer to that. And so the word master meant something in those days that we don't think of. And it meant teacher. It said good teacher. You see, that's what they were using, good teacher. And they were calling him teacher. He taught. He was like prescribed. Prescribed taught, you know. And I thought, well, he's not saying I'm not good. He knew he was good. He had told the Pharisees, he said, which one of you are you doing? He said, which one of you can convict me of sin? Or convince, I don't know the word, convince me of sin. Who can find any of my sins? Who can find any fault against me? So he, and of course, you know, he heard the voice from heaven and said, this is my beloved son. And I, if I'm not mistaken, I think it says, in whom I am well pleased. Does it just say pleased or does it say well pleased? Well, in whom I am well pleased. So if he would get that kind of a
commendation
from God, I couldn't see why he would be saying, well, you know, why did he call me good? Well, of course he's good. And he had to know he was good. And so I realized what he was saying. That the man was saying, good teacher. And he said, why did he call me good? All teaching comes, only God is the teacher. All teaching comes from God. And so what I say is what I hear from God. And so, was he good? Well, of course he was good.
Mm-hmm.
But he was commenting. I think he was just talking about the teaching. You know, God is a good teacher. And all revelation and understanding that we get has to come from God. But anyway, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense as far as I'm concerned.
That's
good. I want to, I don't know if you were intending to bring this, Keith, but if you were, too bad. I'm going to steal your thunder. You were saying here earlier that you talked about it here, and I imagine it was that kind of strange state between sleeping and waking, you know, and you have something like dreams, but you're still kind of awake in some sort of way. But anyway, what you said was that at that point, all the scriptures became clear. All became clear. And then I woke up the next morning and it's all gone. You know,
well,
all gone.
I don't know about all the scriptures, but the ones that came became clear.
Okay. You know, well, I was thinking about that a little bit after you mentioned that. And I see those kinds of experiences as being, I don't know, a little glimpse of heaven, a little glimpse of what is in store for us, something to maybe whet our appetite or keep our interest up or give a little bit of encouragement about what we can expect in the days ahead. You know, it is an expression of a promise, as far as I'm concerned. Have those kinds of experiences, and then, you know, fly away. Mm-hmm.
There's only so much that we can retain anyway. And we're limited. We're, you know, at the best, we can only retain so much. I lost my thought. I had it. It was good, I think.
Well, it's true, bit by bit, you know, line upon line, precept upon precept, you know, here a little, there a little. That is the process.
I was going to comment that we can only retain so much, and each day it's a little bit less. But I also think as Charlie was saying, that I've had a couple of experiences as well where, you know, I sort of think I'm seeing something, and then as I try and focus on it, it just kind of dissipates into the, you know, it's like God sort of lets you see something, but not totally grab it. It's just kind of out there, and it's, and I always take those situations as faith builders, because he's letting you know there's more, and he's revealing more of himself. It just, it's, you know, it's a process. It's just, it's elusive, it's, but it's there. So, but I instead of getting, you know, used to get a little frustrated with that, now I kind of take it as encouragement, because it's like there's more. And he's bringing me there. It's just that I might not have total recall on it. That's, you know, it's just a taste. It's not the feast. Just a taste.
And on the same vein, the scripture in the third chapter of Galatians, I think it's 24, but I'm not sure. And it says that the law is a schoolmaster. And I had to look that up. But it wasn't under the same setting as where it says teacher. But what it is, it's an advanced teacher. It's like a superintendent or a principal or somebody that's a higher grade of teachers. You know what I mean? And it says that the law is a schoolmaster, this teacher, to bring us to Christ or to bring us to faith. I'm not sure. It says to bring us to Christ, bring us to faith. So that we would come to Christ. I'm not sure how it works. But the object is to get us to Christ. And it says, and then after faith has come, then we don't need the teacher. That's what it says. Then we don't need the teacher. Now we need faith. And I got thinking about that. And sometimes you shouldn't. You do it. You know, the Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the definition of faith in that 11th chapter of Hebrews is scary. You know, you guys are familiar with that, the whole chapter. It's a scary chapter. And it says, it begins by saying that faith is a substance of things hoped for. And that's kind of nebulous, you know what I mean? It's a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Give me a good definition of what I just said. I mean, it's not anything my mind makes sense, it makes sense out of. And then it says, right after that, the next verse, I think it says, and by the elders obtained a good report. And then verse 3 says, it says, through faith we understand that the heavens were created by the Word of God. We do. We understand that. But you know what? There comes a point when we do. We understand in a strange way, and we're starting to understand. There was something that happened Tuesday night among the guys that were there that was, I think, one of the most phenomenal things that I ever witnessed. And, you know, the scripture says that and I'm not sure how to put it, those that love the Lord or love the Word will never be offended. How does that say it? And those that what? Love the Word of God and what? How does that say that?
That's the idea.
Yeah, that's the idea. And so anyway, but you know what? What is the basis for anybody being offended anyway? Why is anybody offended?
Too much ego.
You know why? Because they're convinced they're right no matter what. Been there, done that. And what is happening? the Word of God is changing them. Until I saw a group of people that were totally open to the Word of God instead of sitting there with their own opinions, which I have, and done my share of it. We were open to what the Bible, what the Word said, and let the Holy Spirit interpret it for us. I saw something that was, I would say, amazing Tuesday night. I don't know if anybody else recognized it, but I did. I looked at it and I thought, this is getting close to what real Christianity is. We're getting close. We might have 1,000 miles to go, but we're getting a lot closer.
Getting closer.
Yeah. We're getting closer.
Closer.
Because one of the problems that people have in the church is ego, being offended, and so you got to walk on eggs again. You got to be careful what you say, and especially when it comes to scripture, because so many people read the scriptures and then they take it at face value, and they believe whatever it is that they think they see.
But it's even more dangerous than that, because you get into a conversation with a believer, and you try to share what you know to be true, and it doesn't line up with what they believe. So they basically go into, "I've got to save you from yourself because you're deceived mode."
Mm-hmm.
And the difference is,
that's good.
The difference is,
yeah.
If you approach it, you're sharing the Word of God. You go, "You don't save anybody. The Word saves you." If you don't want to see the Word, or as I see the Word, that's between you and God. But if you are talking to someone who is really into the Bible, and you try and point out something that God has shared with you, and they don't agree with you, they become indignant because they're trying to help you because you are lost. And they think it's their responsibility instead of God's responsibility. And the enemy just twists it. They make it like, and I'm doing this good thing, because they become self-righteous. And that's why it is so much easier to have a conversation with the lost than it is to have a conversation with someone who claims to be saved. Because the enemy's got them.
There's a scripture that says that the world by wisdom knew not God.
Exactly.
The world by wisdom knew not God. I hate to be a breaker of bad news, but the church by wisdom don't know God either.
Lord, save us from wisdom.
So God hides So God hides the truth from the wise and the prudent, from the wisdom, and revealed it to babes and sucklings. Not exactly, not giving them a great revelation to the 3-year-old, that's not what it means. But to those who have humbled themselves, become converted, and become as little children. To those who, they get rid of their, they lose their being offended, see. They lose these things. And that's kind of what's happening, we're starting to lose it.
And then I think Paul goes, and we have this wisdom that is from God. So, not all wisdom is bad, it's just man's wisdom.
It's man's wisdom.
And like, it was truth.
Yeah.
God's truth.
Yeah.
Your truth, not our truth.
I heard a comment or a part of scripture this morning. It just got me thinking. It's John 16:33, which is the last verse. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me," and thinking about some of the songs you played, America's freedom and all that, and he mentioned how many countries that like to blow us up. "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer." And here's the thing, I thought, I don't even know if I can comprehend this whole the wholeness of this next statement. I have overcome the world. Just let that sink in a little bit. I have overcome the world. And then I'm just going to read the next couple. In 17, Jesus spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you sent. So, speak of faith. If you can hear and believe that, your faith will go up. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can comprehend that he has overcome the world, not part of the world, not this, not all of the world.
You know, we think that we have victory when we separate ourselves from the world. Well, this is something a little different than separating yourself. It's overcoming it. It's being fully engaged and overcoming. And that's more than what I, that's more than what's in my realm.
Well, yeah, because later he says, I'm not of this world. But then he says, and those that you have given me, they're in this world, but they're not of this world. So by overcoming the world, part of it is we realize we're not of this world.
Yeah.
You know, we're of his world, the next world, the kingdom.
Not this
world.
Nature, but his nature.
Yeah. You know, that, yeah, like Charlie, I'm still pretty grounded in this world.
But you know what? Faith, which I'm going to hear in God's word. After a while, you begin to believe that you can do it through Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You believe you can. And I'm not saying that I've reached the top level. I'm beginning to believe it. And because the word of God is making me believe that. If he did it, I can do it. Because he gave me the power to do it. Through Christ, all things are possible. Mm-hmm. I can do anything for all things. Mm-hmm. And you know what? It's just building. I can feel it building. I have it alive, but I can feel it building. And just like that, the promise that's in 2 Corinthians, where it says, bringing every thought into captivity. You know what? That's a possibility. That's a possibility. Until thoughts can be captured or can be handed over to him before they actually become a problem. It's a possibility. Mm-hmm. It's not that I have a total victory in it, but it's like I can see it as a possibility. It's not a possibility, it's a reality.
It's a probability.
It's a reality, yeah. And, you know, the Bible says the Word of God is perfect. And to the intellect it's not. But to the Spirit it is. Mm-hmm. It has become a perfect substance. And it does create faith. I'm not sure how to say this, but Angel just had a dream. And I mean, she's not an old bench of dream dreamers, but anyway, she's just a young girl. But she just had a phenomenal dream. Candy told me about it, and she said, I don't have any hours the other night. So she went up at the campground, and she said, I'll wait till the end of daytime so that you'll be okay. And it's like, what is God doing? What is God doing to those who believe in God's word? You know? What's God doing? And You can't take any credit. You know what the next thing is. You don't want to. That's the next level. And then don't, if God is doing it, you don't want to take credit for it. Glorify Him. And the thing, one of the prayers that we need to pray is whatever that God does in us, we need to pray that God will be glorified through us. That's what Jesus prayed. Glorify yourself. And he, of course, he wants to tell you to go by two. And God did. And no matter what the pilot and the Jews did to him, it was glorified. Might be lifted up and draw home in and look at it. Look at what has happened.
And how did things go this week?
Good. It tapered off a little. But, yeah. No. I would say that there was a, you know, a big whatever you want to call it, and then it kind of, you know,
right,
evened out a little bit. But, yeah, I'm going to just keep trying to stay in that place. You know, that's just without trying to do works in itself.
It's so tough. On one hand, a little nasty of me to ask the question. On the other hand, I think it probably, when these things happen, I think if I were to say something like what you said, I would, it'd be just fine for a little update request or something, you know, renewal a little bit. And it's, you know, these things are an encouragement. You know, they are.
Mm-hmm.
You report that, and that's an encouragement to me. You know, well, maybe something like that's going to be happening here in the not-too-distant future. So we must not keep that stuff to ourselves. Listen, even though you run the risk, you go stick your neck out and say it, and then, you know.
I mean, if the one thing it did is it sustained me from turning away an area of weakness for almost the whole week, you know, which hasn't happened for a long time. So that was good.
I do think that the timing of these things is ordained by the Lord. Ordained by the Lord. Lest we should boast.
The joy of the Lord is powerful, apparently. You know, you had made a comment earlier that we're beginning to see that the word, your phrasing kind of caught me, and we're getting to see that the word is the inspired Spirit of God, and I'm going, wow, the word always has been the inspired word of God.
Yeah.
We're just now getting to see it. I only bring it up is to try and continue to remind us that He's in charge and we're the one trying to catch up, not the other way around. And it's kind of interesting. You know, we made the comment that, what are you doing? I'm going to church. Well, what's the church? We're talking about the Word of God. How long have you been doing it? Well, decades. Well, don't you have to figure it out yet? You go, no? No, I don't. Well, why is that? That's what God wants. It's just taking God's time. And the freedom that I've got from that is just amazing. Just go. As long as you are seeking, you're doing all that's required of you. And then God will meet you when it's time. It's like, okay, good.
I forget who shared it, but I don't know if it was Pablo or who it was, but noting we've been at this for 20 years, you know. Well, they're wandering around the desert for 40 years, so yeah, we just have another 20 years to go, that's all.
I'm just thinking that even now, again, you know, well, look at all the situations that in the past with God's people. And then I was thinking, you know, like the person that feels like they're a believer, and I guess we do too, but I happened to read and come across where Paul, you know, he's in 2 Corinthians, and he's giving his kind of credentials, you know. And I thought, if you just read one verse out of about 8 of what he went through, we haven't even touched that yet. You know? I mean, I should see if I can find a little bit of it.
Paul was truly tried by fire to keep, to maintain his faith.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Here's one statement. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. For indeed, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side, outside with conflicts, inside with fears. Nevertheless, God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus. But there's one part where he's says what he's gone through. He
talks about the number of times he's jailed, the number of times he's been
whipped. How many times have any of us been whipped up, one short of 40, three times, you know? Yeah, it's just, and then we think we are so close, you know.
We really sucked it up.
Yeah. And then, remember Jesus said, if I allow him to live until I come, you know, what does that do to you? And so then we follow this a little bit further, and here's John, who has been exiled onto the Isle of Patmos. And while he's there, God gives him the book of Revelation, you know?
Yeah.
And he's exiled. You know why he was sent there? Because of the Word of God and because of Jesus Christ. It says, like he said that right away in the book of Revelation. And so, they can exile them all they want, but it wasn't through
them. Yeah.
No. In a way, that was a kind of almost a beginning, another beginning, you know.
Well, it keeps coming back, but it's the theme that comes up is we want instant gratification. It's just the lower nature.
Yeah.
And even in the times we're in now, it's even faster than before. And you go back and look at, you know, how God did things back in the day, and there wasn't a whole lot of instant gratification. There was a lot of tough work that was done.
But now, if you stop and think how close we're getting probably to him wanting his truth proclaimed. You look at the situations that have developed. You go into places like just France, and if you started preaching the gospel, you know, well, it's become predominantly Muslim. Mm-hmm. You're going to get reactions like Paul got when he went into certain cities, and, you know, like when he went into the city of, well, was it the Ephesians that had the goddess? And oh man, they went into an uproar, you know. Mm-hmm. So the opportunity is probably going to be there for us too in days to come.
I think the comment that, you know, we're moving towards that point, I think is true.
Yeah,
but it's just like I'm constantly reminded that I want to know now.
Yeah,
I don't want to wait until God wants to tell me. I want to know.
Yeah.
I want to go for it. I just keep bringing myself back to, but it's not up to me, you know, and that's the toughest. It's not up to you.
You know, it's much more grounded, I feel, that we've gotten, and a foundation built. I ain't ready yet. I don't want to do it yet.
Yeah,
I'd be devastated.
I'm a little with that.
You know, they wipe me out right now.
Yeah. Yeah, do I want to go forth in truth and power? Maybe not. But of course, yeah, truth and power, you would have whatever it is.
If you have truth and power, go for it.
That's right.
So, yeah. Well, what's that one setting where someone's trying to, one of the disciples is trying to form deliverance, and he says, God, I know, Jesus, I know, but who are you?
Yeah. It's John. Right. Oh, yeah, the sons of Sceva, wasn't
it? Yeah, like, who are you? It's like, yeah, maybe I'm ready to go out and take the big...
Yeah, you wouldn't want that thrown at you and found out that you didn't really have the authority.
Yeah.
You falsely assume something, yeah. And of course, that gets back to when we're asking the question, well, when do we do something with this? And you go, I have faith that God will let me know. And yet, you know, don't want to be late to that either. You don't want to be showing a lack of faith.
Yeah.
Because you didn't have the discernment, so.
And we have the comments where God said, to those that really, I'm really serving him, he said, I will give you a mouth and wisdom.
Mm-hmm. The Lord will be able to gainsay or refuse.
Jesus.
Yeah.
You know,
there you go.
And so there are those who are more like the seven sons of Sceva, you know. And there was the seventh chapter of Matthew, that there are self-appointed, whatever, you know. But there are the real ones. And the real ones have got to have a solid foundation, a truth foundation in the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
They have to have it.
Mm-hmm.
So when it says, faith come by hearing, and that's the Word of God. It has to be the truth Word of God. It can't be a private interpretation.
Sure.
An unshakable faith.
Yeah.
I mean, confronted, you go, it doesn't matter. I mean, like Daniel.
I can feel.
Walk in first, not a problem.
Yeah.
I can feel the foundation of it. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a foundation. And it's been, well, in my case, about almost 20 years. And it's day and night. And the more I listen, the more I love it. I love God. What can I learn?
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about, you know, we were talking about the Israelites in the desert. And I thought, you know, Moses would lead them. They got on he struck the rock twice instead of once. And got the rock, which it said was Christ. And I got the water for many people. And I got this little coriander seed type thing that came down from heaven that they ate 3 meals a day, or however, whatever they did, you know. And all the minerals and vitamins and the health and whatever they needed was in that stuff.
And so I imagine that right away they're happy. They're out in the desert. Why are you giving them desert to eat? But you know what? It didn't take very long to probably tell them, give me something else. I mean, just think about us. Me. I don't know that I would be real content. And next thing you know, it's 20 years. But they would be. Then it's 30 years. It's 40 years. And they started to rebel. And a lot of them started to get upset. We felt, you know. And, but the thing is, don't rebel. Keep taking it in. This is that manna. This is the food. And when Jesus says, I have food to eat that you know, or that you know not of, and I don't know what else about it, but the Bible says that he was, the Word became flesh. And however it was, I don't know that he needed to eat.
You know, we're talking about dropping the ball or failing to discern or whatever. We don't want to be confident in the natural, but I hardly see the Lord taking us through this cockamamie process that we've been going on year in and year out, and for whatever reason remaining faithful to it. And then, whoops, we missed that. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
Good.
You know? Whoops! Well, oh, darn, missed it. You know? Now, I mean, again, you don't want to be confident in the natural on these things, but I just, you know, the Word talks about is the woman pregnant and then just doesn't give birth?
Yeah.
I think that's true if we remain true to putting God first. I mean, as long as we don't step out trying to take charge, I don't think he'll let us have a big mess.
Yeah.
But that is the thing to avoid.
Yeah, I want to go back. What that setting you quoted about if you have the Word, you will. Will not be disdained, or what was that?
Actually, to Charlie Porter, too.
Either gainsayed, nor
yeah.
Gainsayed or refused.
Yeah. What was the very beginning of it? If you have the, if you preach the Word, or if you present the Word of God? Or...
I just knew the last part.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You said it a few minutes ago.
That day.
Where the ending was, there you will. What was the ending? Will not be gainsaid.
You said something about
you just
power and truth.
You'll make an argument that no one's going to be able to come up with.
I will give you a mouth and a wisdom.
Yeah,
that no one will be able to gainsay or resist.
So it made me think of Peter. He was speaking to the. Whoever, the Pharisees and whoever, and they were gainsaying, but then the people said, come back and talk to us tomorrow. We want to know. So you get blasted over here, but because you have a mouth of wisdom and truth, somebody else is still hearing it.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to want it. And, you know, that's probably the thing to keep in mind is... You may say it, and the greater crowd may look like they're not accepting it, but somebody God's touching.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
They don't want to know.
I there's two models. Peter on the day of Pentecost appeared to convince 5,000 people, you know,
right?
Or the Spirit, or whatever. You know, Stephen not so much. You know, but he apparently had some kind of impact on Paul. You know. So,
Luke 21:15
is where Peter said,
"For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict." So,
and really, what that is saying is, yeah, they may be resisting it, but the But that word is not, by somebody is not being resisted. You know, it's being accepted.
Like, it's kind of like no matter what they say.
Yeah.
So, is Jesus speaking?
I wanted to know where it was, the player as well. But yeah. Maybe it does sound like Jesus saying, look, I will give you the words that will make will be unrefutable, which is what God's word is.
And you know, it's kind of like, and when you, if you do present that, there's a judgment there. Because if they don't accept it, they just judge themselves out of the kingdom of God. You know,
if they're refuting the word of God, then they're definitely taking on a risk.
You know, Paul says, you know, God has given us the aroma, the fragrance of Christ that either kills or gives life. The one, you know, it's
Well, and it's like God always says, hey, Jesus also said, I'm not judging you.
The words are
speak from God are judging.
Yeah.
I have thought that being a Pharisee in 30 BC or whatever, before Christ, that may not have been so bad. You know, that'd be, you know, nothing.
Could be.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Being a Pharisee in 33 AD, and not, you know.
Not as good.
Right, not as good.
Times have changed.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, talk about a lot of revelation in a short period of time.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of like here it is.
Boy, it just shows so true that the same thing today with the condition of the church. You speak some of this to them and they are just going to gnash their teeth and, you know, you can't tell us. We know. We're the established Christianity, you know. That we have established. That's the problem.
Yeah,
that's it. And religion.
Yeah.
I've got this just about the way I want it. The last thing I want is a bunch of facts getting in the way of that. A bunch of truth. Don't tell me I might be wrong somewhere and this is going to become more difficult. I've worked really hard to get this just the way I am.
And Abraham was looking for a city, but he was looking for a place, a something, who was builder and founder of God.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a place down in Indiana, it's called Goshen, Indiana. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah.
It's a town or a city or something, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and it was started by a bunch of some kind of Christian people, and they named it Goshen because that's where the Israelites lived when they were in Egypt. And anyway, I was down there. I went down to see this Bob Peyton that we had witnessed to and so forth. And he was in Bogota, Colombia, and then he ended up down there. And and anyway, it's basically a city that's supposed to be a city of Christians. And they had some strange things. I don't remember exactly what it was, but he was telling us about it. But they have some certain laws and certain things that in that city that you really don't find in a lot of other places. I mean, this is a holy city. And yeah. But anyway, that's the way the mind thinks. You know, God, see, Abraham was looking for a city who would build a monument for God. People are looking for a city that they can build for God. You know, that they can make. And it doesn't work. And the same thing with the church. I mean, we committed the chapel. And I, you know, the objective was a Abraham city. And you know, not just that, but just church after church. We want to have God's city. That's what we want to build.
And so they set out to build it, but they're not doing it God's way. And it don't work. If, to as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they're the sons of God. Not to as many as lead the Spirit. You know what I mean?
We got a little close to that by how many people ended up within a half mile of the church.
Yeah.
Land of Goshen.
You know? I mean, some of it was just the fact that you were drawn to the Spirit and wanted to be close, but.
This is Corky. Hello? I'm with Grandpa.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that Abraham ever did find that city, did he?
Well, only by faith.
Yeah,
that's right. I think it is. It's a seeking process. It's not finding. We will find.
You know what?
But
I think that has become an objective of us. I think that's what I want that city. I don't want one that I built. I don't want one that you built. I'd like it, but I want the one that God builds.
Amen. There's a setting somewhere in the Old Testament, and I'm sure I will recall it quicker, but there's a discussion going on and that they're going to build a temple. And they were pretty happy with themselves. God comes back and says, why do you think this is important to me? You're using this, all the materials that I gave you originally, you're giving it back to me.
Yeah.
Where do you get value? Where do you perceive there's value when you giving me back what I gave you?
That was Solomon's temple, yeah.
Now you're going along and you see something, and all of a sudden there's a section of scripture that just really resonates with you. And I remember reading that and I go, that is really it. There is really nothing that I can do, you know, that he hasn't already given me. I'm just, thanks a lot, I'm giving it back to you. It's like, you know, that just really impacted me. It still does. I mean, it's like you can't build anything or create anything because you're using all the stuff that he gave you. He created it all.
Like re-gifting.
Yeah, re-gifting.
Yeah, right.
And expecting, you know, like praise or
blessings
from that. You should bless me because I've given you back your stuff. I just put it in a different way. And you go, you know, how it just kind of illustrated to me just how vain man is in man in forgetting who he is and who we are.
Yeah. You know, Abraham, though, I'm sure he knows the city now. He's in the city. But the amazing thing about Abraham is God, I mean, he said, your seed is going to be more than the stars. I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah.
You know? So that's a pretty great sacrifice to have not had a home or a city. But yet, you brought forth everything that God, every seed of God that after that, you know, that's a true seed.
One of the patterns in the Bible, and it's certainly true of Abraham, he gets a promise, and it is a really far-fetched promise.
Yeah.
It's really far-fetched.
Stretches.
And I think, right. Sarah laughed.
Yeah, I mean, it started right in the flesh. It's like, are you kidding?
Yeah, right. And I think that is characteristic of God.
Mm-hmm.
Look at us. We're expecting some kind of sands of the sea kind of thing going on here. Oh, God. You know, but that's what he is. That's what, you know.
Yeah. And give with Elizabeth, and look at what he does in Mary.
And for myself, I feel in some kind of way the Spirit pretty fired up about having it be just plain nuts that we're you know, the thing we're looking for, expecting. Mm-hmm. You know, in the natural.
Yes.
You know, that's not going to happen. Come on now. In the natural, you know?
Yeah.
I like that feature of it all.
Okay. If it seems reasonable to you, you're probably missing the mark.
Yeah, you're right. You're falling short.
Yeah, I can see that. Oh, that ain't the right way. It's almost like, have seen how rich? That's the one.
I like what Paul told me at the Roman Church. And the verse in chapter 12, he said, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service.
It is really hard.
Wait a minute. What do you mean, reasonable?
Yeah.
You keep bringing that up every now and then.
Just what I think I'm doing best.
You got anything a little less?
Can I take the shorter step?
A little less reasonable?
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. Not everybody's going to make it, it's going to be at the same level. But the thing that I see with the scriptures is those that are running the race, running towards God, are going to be the ones that he calls in, and that he chooses, you know? And that's why the Bible says that he that endures in the end, the same shall be saved. I really don't want to quit early.
No.
You know, crazy thought, even if you wanted to, you won't be able to if you're his chosen.
You know what? That's one of the nice things about what God is doing. We kind of prod on it.
Yeah.
You know. And, remember, Jesus told Paul, Saul, he said, why do you kick against the gold pricks? Little sharp pointed sticks that we use to make the animals so poor. And it's kind of like, that's kind of what we do to one another, you know? We can poke one another. A different kind of just holding them up for this situation.
But I mean, I forget that all the time, what I just said, you know.
Yeah.
But that setting of scripture, and I know, I wish I knew where it was, but you are predestined to be the chosen, you know, before the foundation of the world or whatever. And so, if you're there, yeah, you'll go through all these times and think you're not going, whatever, but that's... It's just God.
That's the route.
Mm-hmm. It's God burning the drops, you know, and polishing the diamond and whatever. Mm-hmm. That's Eli.
Mm-hmm. Are we done? Love you all.